Hello, everybody. I'm Madeline Misko. I write stories. I also write poems. And I'm a registered nurse. And thank you very much. I'm short. Thank you very much. And this is my first time to tell a story without any notes, so bear with me. When I was a child, the girl up the street from us, one lovely day in June, ran away with a boyfriend to Elkton, Maryland, and got married. And I remember my mother telling my father about it at the supper table in sort of hushed tones. And my mother said the girl up the street had eloped. And from that day on, the word eloped had sort of this romantic aura. So many years later, I am grown up now, and I'm a registered nurse, as I said, and a couple years ago, I was working in a retirement community in an assisted living, and there, the word elope has an entirely different aura. To nurses, the word elope or elopement means specifically when a patient in your care has left the facility without letting the staff know. So it's a word that brings terror to the heart of one who's sort of responsible for a vulnerable, somewhat forgetful person who might be out there in a dangerous world. So anyway, one lovely June day, near the end of my shift, I was sitting there writing my nurse's notes, getting ready to give report, feeling pretty good about myself. And the phone rang, and it was the young security person at the front desk letting me know that a certain Mrs. X was about to leave the building. So I said to him, "Stop her," of course. And he said, "I can't. She won't listen to me. She won't listen to me." And the thing is, she never had before, so that's why he said that. So I slammed the phone down, of course, and I'm running down there in my sensible shoes to the front desk, and I said, and he just... "She's gone." And I could have wrung his neck, but in his defense, let me tell you a bit about Mrs. X first. She was this lovely, lovely woman, very elegant, approaching her 90th birthday. And she always dressed in lovely suits. She would never leave her apartment without her earrings on, her pearls. She always wore stockings. And she always wore high-heeled pumps, no matter what we said. So anyway, in his defense, the security guard was probably thinking, how far can a little old lady in high-heeled pumps get before Madeline gets here? The answer is far. So anyway, I'm out there on the street, and I'm looking to the west, I'm looking to the east. No Mrs. X in her pale blue suit, which I remember she was wearing. And I look straight ahead, and I'm figuring she probably crossed the traffic and went down this narrow street of Baltimore row houses. I don't see her, but I take off running in my sensible nurse shoes. And when I get to the end of the block, I do what anybody who has been raised Catholic would do. I took a gulp of air and I prayed to St. Anthony, the patron saint of lost things. I was like, "Great St. Anthony, come around. Someone is lost. Something, someone is lost who must be found." And then, like a miracle, there she was, a block away, but there she was. So, I forget my pride, and I just put my hands up to my mouth like I would call my children home to supper down the alley, like, "Mrs. X, Mrs. X," and like a miracle, she stopped. And she did turn around, and she came back to me. So, like right now, I was leaning there, just sort of gulping for air, and she's looking up into my face, and she says to me, "Madeline," she remembered my name, "Madeline, whatever in the world are you doing here? You weren't trying to catch up with me, were you?" Good question. So here's this moment. Here's this happy moment that occurred then. We were standing in front of this little, narrow row home, end of row, a lovely porch, and crowded with furniture, faded furniture, sort of a trellis off to the side with these heavy, old-fashioned roses, the kind my grandmother, for some reason, used to call blousy. And, it was just a lovely place to be. The air was just scented with the smell of my childhood. And Mrs. X turned to me and she said, "You know, you really ought to sit down." So I said to her, "Well, I would like to, but I don't know these people, do you?" And she said, "I don't believe I do." So she was looking at this house, and I was looking at this house, you know, like up to the roof line, you know, the flower boxes under the windows, the door with the screen door kind of sagging, and these two windows on either side of the door with those sheer curtains blowing in the breeze and the shades pulled perfectly evenly, and these two old-fashioned shade pulls like delicate earrings hanging there. And we're just looking at it, and the air was just deeply scented. And Mrs. X said to me, "This place reminds me of home." So I realized I didn't know where she was from. So I said to her, "Did you grow up in Baltimore, Mrs. X?" And she said, no, I didn't. I didn't grow up in Baltimore. I grew up in Virginia." So there we were, standing there, just the two of us. And she reached out, and this little house was surrounded with a hedge that had those little white blossoms, you know, like the privet blossoms that had this odd smell. And she broke a blossom off, and she held it up to me, and she said, "What do you think it is?" And privet hedge blossom didn't seem the right answer. It was like, I don't know. So she put out her elbow like this, and I crooked my arm in hers, and we took off together, walking south, away from the facility, of course. So, you know, I had a cell phone in my pocket at the time, and I didn't call the security desk. You know, they didn't call me either. And they probably assumed, like in times past, you know, I would catch up with her, I would bring her back, but they really shouldn't have assumed. Because just for a moment, Mrs. X and I sort of eloped.